I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to On Target. I'm your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we're here every week, and we talk about subjects that we think are interesting and important and topical for all of us who live here in the Western New York community. And now we are trying to be topical in the last couple of shows, at least, and at this time of year, and talk about all the great activities and wonderful institutions and places and things that are happening, concerts and canal side and all the things that are happening, art park, that we take advantage of at this time of year. And recently, my friend Sharon Metz was telling me about the Niagara Grape and Wine Festival, which, although it is, as we're going to find out in a moment, not like right here in Buffalo, but it is part of our Western New York area for sure, not that far away. And as we know, our Canadian neighbors are not only good neighbors, but a wonderful place, wonderful places for us to travel and enjoy activities during the good weather season. So this Niagara Grape and Wine Festival is something that, truthfully, I wasn't the least bit familiar with, although I do go to the Shaw Festival all the time and at Sharon's instigation, but I love it, and we talk to them a lot about the activities and some of the other places, like in Hamilton and right over, of course, as close as we could be in Niagara-on-the-Lake. But now I come to find out that so many of you, who are my listeners, are knowledgeable and know about the Niagara Grape area and the wine festival and all the activities that take place around it. So I feel like maybe I'm sort of out of it and maybe I should find out more about it. And with you here on Target, we are going to talk to Dorian Anderson. And Dorian is the executive director for this group that I've been telling you about. And she came all the way over through traffic, which, of course, we're not going to talk about. But, oh, wait a minute. My listeners are going the other direction. So maybe that won't be too bad. I don't know. But Dorian came all the way from Hamilton, am I guessing?
Yes. Hamilton today, yes.
Hamilton today, and was delayed because of all the traffic. However, it was well worth it because she's really happy to be here and tell us all about the Niagara Grape and Wine Festival. And you should be used to the traffic. I told you, there's always traffic over there, Dorian. Well, I'm telling you.
There always is. And luckily for your listeners, the traffic starts in St. Catharines and goes all the way to Toronto. But if you're going from St. Catharines towards the border, it's usually pretty clear.
That's what I was trying to say, not articulately, but I was trying to say it's not too bad for our listeners because they're sort of going in the other direction
exactly.
Or at that part where, and it's so close. So our Canadian neighbors, which is you, have something known as the Niagara Grape and Wine Festival. And I have found out recently from a lot of my friends that Niagara, the area of Niagara in Canada, Niagara, is just one of the most important grape wine areas in the whole in all of this area, in all of around here. I can't say all of America, all of the United States, because it's Canada, but in this hemisphere.
Absolutely. It's actually the largest wine-producing region in all of Canada, with British Columbia being the second highest. But after sort of California, I know Texas has a really large industry, but in the Northeast, I know Texas is surprising, isn't
Texas,
it?
Texas, I'm looking at you like, huh?
I know. I was just as surprised as you were. But we have in the Niagara area alone over 150 wineries, which is surprising to a lot of people.
And what?
I know, it's amazing. Some of them are very small, little independent winery shops and vineyards. And then we have a few of the larger properties, the Andrew Peller and Jackson Triggs and the Enniskillens that many of your guests are probably familiar with.
Okay, now what are we talking about when you say the area? like geographically, from where to where?
So geographically, the farthest away from the border would be Grimsby, Winona, which is actually where I live. So that's about 15 minutes from Hamilton. So I would say to get from the border to there probably would take 35 to 40 minutes. And then that's sort of the farthest west. And then traveling in, you hit St. Catharines and the Jordan Beamsville Bench area, and then through to Niagara-on-the-Lake after that.
Now, what makes it, we are all familiar with California wines, I think, and thinking about, I can't think of any other place in the United States. Can you, Jim? Any other place that's famous for wine besides California? I really can't. I just definitely heard
Napa Valley. Yeah,
I never heard of Texas. That's for sure.
No.
Well, Oregon has quite a few. Oregon's got quite a few wineries, and Michigan and Virginia apparently have a very robust wine growing situation happening too now. And,
well, okay, but actually, it would be it's a lot closer and more accessible for all of our On Target listeners to go to over the bridge to Canada. That's for sure.
Yes.
What makes it a good wine growing area?
It's often surprising to people. If you look at a globe, the Niagara region is exactly the same latitude as the best wine growing regions in France and Italy. So really, when you think about the weather that way, we actually have a perfect climate to be growing those wines, although we do have a bit of the Canadian winters to factor in. So because we're sort of situated with Lake Ontario and Lake Erie, they moderate the winter temperature so that we don't have that Canadian cold killing our vines, but it allows us to grow a lot of the same wines that they grow in those parts of France and Europe that have been famous all around the world. So our wines are quite different from California wines. California wines have really rich, bold flavors and really buttery white wines. Ours are a little bit more European in style, I would say, for the most part. So they're a little fruitier, a little bit drier maybe, but absolutely amazing. And we're actually exporting into Europe now because the wines are so similar.
Oh, so that's something that I was going to talk about. I thought about it. Is it not bottling it. What do you call it when you put wine? You do.
Bottling it?
Yeah. Where besides in the immediate region are they selling it or exporting it? That's it. That's interesting.
There are some wineries actually that have wines available here in Western New York. Some of the larger producers I know, Cave Spring does. A lot of your listeners will know Andrew Peller. Even Wayne Gretzky, I believe, is starting to export Trius wines. So there are some here, but the largest amount, I would say, is in Ontario itself, because we have a lot of regulations around our industry that make export a little bit more difficult for us.
What, who does regulate? That's a question. Does the government regulate the production of wine or the grapes or any method or bottling or procedures?
There's actually quite a few regulatory bodies. So the Ontario government does regulate the whole liquor. It's called the Liquor Control Board of Ontario. So they manage how much wine is produced, how it's sold, and where it's sold. So just recently, in this past 18 months, we've been able to purchase certain wines in grocery for the first time. But otherwise, we only can buy them in the government stores. So that's an interesting thing. The Grape Growers of Ontario, they are sort of a lobby group that works with the government to help manage which vines are planted in which regions. And then the federal government manages export.
Mm. You know, I just remembered something. Speaking of Niagara, and this is called Niagara Grape and Wine Festival, Niagara America, we have a lot of wine country right here.
I drove by a sign on my way that said Niagara Wine Route, and I thought, that's not my wine route, but I'll have to come and check this one out.
We do, right?
Mm-hmm, you do.
Yeah, it's a growing industry around here, too. Am I right, Jim?
I think so.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
Like down in Sanborn, or I can't think of the places, but...
Yeah, along the lake.
Outside. Yeah. So I bet you they have the same climate, sort of. Obviously, it's just a... not that far away. So.
Yeah, and really it's the water that moderates the temperature. So it gives you a lot of moisture, a lot of snow that kind of melts into the vineyards to keep the vines healthy. But, you know, that beautiful river that kind of divides our country into, our places into, is one of the things that actually helps the vines do so well.
Yeah, that is so funny, because when you talk about the climate and saying it's good for growing grapes, the first thing, I don't know, we think of as Canada is like... snow and cold and hockey, I think. So it's supposed to take a lot of work on your part to get the public, the country, and other countries to realize that what you said, we really do have in Niagara America, mm-hmm. Niagara USA, and Niagara Canada, the right climate and the right place. It is the right place to grow grapes.
It's funny. You would think internationally it would be hard, and it is. Mm-hmm. But even other parts of Canada, and yeah, you're right, absolutely, and here into the States, you just don't make that connection, even though we're only, what, 30 minutes apart. There still is that perception that Canada is, you know, under snow for 9 months of the year. So we kind of try to tell the story that we are a very unique pocket of Canada because of where the lakes are and how the escarpment sort of keeps those warmer airs kind of tucked in and keeps them hovering over those grape lands. That's really the reason we're able to grow those grapes. So we try to sort of make it like it's a secret garden for growing grapes.
It probably is. Now, you know everything, Dorian. I'm really impressed. Are there different kinds of grapes? There must be different kinds of grapes, and that's what makes the variations of wine.
Absolutely. The industry, the kind of grapes that we see most often are called vinifera grapes, and those are the vines that originally came over from Europe. So that's the Cabernet and Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc, those names that we know. They, around the 70s, started replacing all of the native grapes that were sort of grown for either regular juice or for eating, and some of those were turned into wine. Those vines started getting replaced around the 70s. So the oldest vines, I think, that were planted in Niagara are from Vineland Estates Winery, and they were planted in the 70s. So over time, those have been replaced, and I think we grow... I'm going to get in trouble for getting this wrong, but I think there's
close... You
can
just make it up because nobody's going to know.
There's close to 20 different varietals of wine, I believe. And there's a lot of wineries that blend some of them together. So there's just everything for every kind of palate, for sure.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. And in the studio with us today, without samples, we are not...
That's our government again.
Yes. Yes. we are not drinking and talking. We're not driving, that's for sure. But Dorian Anderson, Executive Director of the Niagara Grape and Wine Festival. And that is what we are talking about, you know, we should say again that we are talking about Niagara, Canada. Yeah. I don't know. Do you call it, what do we say?
Niagara, Ontario, or Niagara,
that's
Canada?
That's it, Ontario. Okay. I knew that didn't sound right. Okay. So there are the different kinds of grapes that make the different kind of wine. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the, you mentioned a few, there's a great variety of wines mm-hmm. in Canada, in Ontario, right?
Yes, there is.
And are the wineries like specialized? Can you describe the different wineries, because you said there are so many. Do they specialize in different kinds of different varieties of wine, for example?
It's interesting. There are some wineries that are very specific with which wines they want to grow and produce. And then there are other wineries that like to produce a whole bunch of different varieties so that they have something for everyone. A lot of times what happens is the winemaker influences those decisions. A lot of the winemakers actually working in the Canadian wineries have traveled all around the world. They've done what they call stages. So it's sort of like an internship in South Africa, South America, France. So most of them have traveled somewhere outside of Canada to make wine, and that often will influence what they like to do when they get back here. But I think if you had to say for Niagara, Ontario, what the best sort of wine varieties that we grow, Chardonnay is my personal favorite. It always has been. And Riesling, those would be the two white wines. So Chardonnay is a bit drier. Riesling's quite fruity and lively. And then on the red wine side, Pinot Noir and Gamay Noir are two reds that we do really, really well.
And then as far as like, the wineries go. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the different like sizes and what they have to offer.
Sure. I mean, that's one of the reasons that I know Sharon loves to come and visit Niagara as often as she does, is because you can really decide the kind of wine experience you'd like to have. So if you want to go off the beaten path, heading up to the 20 Valley area, the Beamsville Bench and Jordan and Vineland is where a lot more of the sort of smaller, independently owned wineries are. And often you'll meet the winemakers, you'll meet the owners of the winery, they're working in the vineyard. So it's they make more what you'd call sort of craft style wines. Sometimes they can be a little bit more expensive because they're done with special barrels and really small lots. But a lot of the wineries there also have sort of entry-level priced wines as well. So there's kind of a nice range. In Niagara-on-the-Lake is where you get a little bit more of the luxurious experience, if you'd like. They've got some larger estates, really great wine tours and wine staff that can teach you a lot about wine. So I think about Trius, for example. They're just redoing their whole wine program, and their rosé is one of their big new wines that's absolutely incredible. So you can go there and go on a 30-minute tour around the winery. You can go and have some barrel samples and some tastings, and then spend some time at the winery restaurants. I mean, you can really make almost a full day out of visiting 2 to 3 wineries there.
And that's what, when we mean, well, we're going to talk about it in a second, but that's what we mean by Niagara Grape and Wine Festival. So what does that mean exactly?
So the Niagara Grape and Wine Festival is actually the largest and oldest wine festival in the country, in our country, I should be clear, in Canada. So this is our spring and summer festival. We call it our homegrown festival. So it happens for 2 weeks, and we have a couple signature events. We're doing a big tailgate party on the 15th of June, and that's at 13th Street Winery. And literally, there are winemakers pouring out of bins in the back of their trucks. It's about 1,500 people to 2,000 people that go to this every year.
Wait, I didn't get where it is, though.
It's at 13th Street Winery.
Yeah, what does that mean?
That's just one of our winery partners. So it's a winery in St. Catharines.
The original
vineyards were on 13th Street. And so that's one of the favorite events of the year. Between 1,500 and 2,000 people, a big, huge stage, 15 food trucks, 30 wineries, and you kind of go in. It's an all-inclusive ticket, and you can just sort of sample the night and dance the night away. It's great.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. And did you, you said when it is, but the 15th.
Saturday, right. June 15th. Saturday, and that sort of kicks off our whole festival, that event.
Right. And then what?
And then we do have the homegrown discovery pass. So these are things that happen on Saturdays and Sundays between 11 and 5. And these are self-guided winery tours. So you buy a pass. It's $45 Canadian, which maybe 35 American, the way our dollar is. And it allows you to travel all throughout Niagara. You get 8 wine and food experiences, each valued at $10 each for the $45. And you just can decide which ones you'd like to visit. You have a very special wine and food pairing at the winery. You can learn a lot about the wines being offered, and then you can travel on to the next one. So for someone, it's their first time ever visiting Niagara, Canada. The Discovery Pass is a great way for them to really get a sense of what each winery likes to offer as their favorite wine and food of the region.
And how, when you do this, I'm assuming that somebody that's not participating is driving, or there's a bus, or there's a Uber driver, or there's some kind of a group that you can do it with?
A lot of people choose to do it. Transportation is up to the guest to sort out, but we do have a special price if a designated driver wants to come. So we discount the tickets for them so they can still enjoy the food, and we have some nice local organic juices and sparkling waters for them to enjoy if they can't enjoy the wine.
You know, you mentioned grape, and for some reason I was going to ask you about that. Grape juice, is that something that is made by the grapes in Canada?
The grapes used for wine, traditionally, no. Traditionally, those are just kept for wine because, let's be honest, wine's better. But there are some variety of table or eating grapes that are pressed into juice.
That. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, let's talk about the food part. How does that work? I mean, you said some pairings. Mm-hmm. Do all of the different places have food to offer, or did I make it up? I thought it was Niagara Grape and Cheese Festival, but now I think it's Grape and Wine Festival.
It's Grape and Wine.
But cheese must be involved.
For sure. So each winery decides on what they'd like to serve. So some definitely will have cheese. I mean, wine and cheese is an amazing pairing. Some of them have restaurants and chefs on site that want to do something a little more fun and a little more daring. And some just go out to caterers and restaurants that they're friends with. So, for example, there are sometimes there are small little bits of curry, or there's little bits of like asparagus soup because asparagus is seasonal. Or they might come with a little bit of pork belly that you can enjoy. So they're little sort of small plates that you get to taste with the wines, but there's a huge variety. And they're all listed on our website at niagarawinefestival.com. You can go through and preview what the wineries have to offer. So many people will actually plan their trip around what the food is more than they will the wine, which we don't really mind because it all tastes delicious anyway.
Well, I was going to say, whatever the motivation. What about selling? This is, I can see coming to taste and when you're there. Mm-hmm. What about selling, buying a lot of the wines? Are they for sale? And I don't know the answer to this, but you do probably. What can you take back, or can they take it back to...
Yeah, this I'm not sure about. Yeah. I think we should call Sharon. I'm sure she knows. But I know that you're allowed to bring a small amount back. But you are able to, of course, purchase the wines while you're there. And we do have hotel partners that if you wanted to spend the night, we can make some recommendations. Because there is one more event I have to tell you about.
Okay.
Since we like the culinary so much. We're launching a new brunch event on Sunday the 23rd. So we have the tailgate party to open the festival, and this new brunch in the vineyard is going to close it. So it's from 11 o'clock until 2 o'clock on the Sunday. And we've selected 8 of the best chefs in Niagara to partner up with wineries, and they're competing for the best brunch dish.
And you're going to tell us some examples that you know?
Sure. So there's a great new restaurant in St. Catharines.
I can't believe we're doing this. And we're just sitting here, Jim. No samples.
I know.
No brunch.
Unbelievable.
No wine. This is so horrible. And people are listening to us like you know, really early in the morning. So they must be like, oh, I can't wait to have that. I wish I had that now, right?
Well, we'll just have you come up this year and we can just tape it up there. And you can, you can critique. Yes, we met with our chefs actually yesterday to finish the menu planning. So one of the chefs from a new restaurant in St. Catharines called In Coho is doing a Filipino pork belly. So they're going to pair that with a nice like Gewürztraminer or probably a Pinot Gris. We have a chef Ray Taylor from Root and Bone in Fonthill is going to be doing a duck eggs Benedict. So it's a confit of duck served with a duck egg, which I think sounds absolutely amazing. There are some vegetarian options. So there's a South American grilled arepa, which is a type of maize bread. It's like a flatbread with a gooseberry jelly and things on top. Most of these actually can be served vegetarian. The chefs bring alternatives so that we can, you know, accommodate everybody. So, yeah, it's going to be amazing.
It all sounds amazing. Now, we mentioned the different types of wine. You mentioned a few of them before. Is one more popular than the other, and as far as like the brand, the type, mm-hmm.
I would say as much as Pinot Grigio isn't a wine that Niagara would necessarily be known for, we do some amazing Pinot Grigios in Niagara. And actually, if you're there and you see a wine called Pinot Gris, it's the exact same grape. Pinot Grigio is usually done in a more traditionally Italian style, but it really is the same thing. That definitely is one that always is a crowd pleaser whenever we do events. From the reds, we probably would have reds that are blended. So Cabernet Franc and Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot are often blended together. And I think that our red blends often are the ones that people like the most, because if we don't get enough heat in the summertime, sometimes some of those varietals need a little more time to ripen, so that blending them kind of smooths them out a little bit.
Do you know if the weather, like I know here, the weather has affected all of the vegetables and things that they're, strawberries and all things that, because of the wet and whatever, did it affect the wine, the grapes?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not a sommelier. I'm just someone who...
Sounds like you are to me, Dorian.
I just do a lot of research at home. I do. And I mean drinking research, not reading research. But friends of mine that are, they have an amazing ability to taste wine and know if the year the grapes were grown was wet or dry, or how hot it was, or even like when it was harvested. It's astounding what people can tell. So it definitely does affect it. there are a few grape varietals like Pinot Noir, which is one that we do very well in Niagara if the weather is right, but it's nicknamed the heartbreak grape because it can become almost perfect, but the skins are very thin. So if it rains at the very end before harvest, they'll just start to split.
Oh.
And the crops get, you know, ruined. So weather absolutely affects it. So we're hoping for, you know, we've had a lot of rain in the spring, which is good. I think we've had about enough. And then we just want a nice hot, breezy summer, and that's the best thing we can have.
Is anybody listening that can control this or have anything to do with this? What about the activities, the Niagara Grape and Wine Festival, which, by the way, is what we're talking about today. Is it weather dependent, like when you mentioned the brunch, for example, mm-hmm. and the which made me laugh. What do you call it? Tailgate party?
What did you mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, did they name it after our tailgate parties, you think?
I can't say it didn't have anything to do with it. We are a huge Buffalo Bills fan base up in Niagara. I've grown up, well, actually, used to work for the Buffalo Sabres, too, so Buffalo's very near and dear in my heart. It's kind of part of it, I think. And it's that whole idea, a lot of people think of wine as kind of snobby, and it really isn't, you know, especially when you live in a wine region. Wine is part of everyday life. So the idea of having a tailgate party was, you know, come in your blue jeans and your tank top and your cowboy boots if you own them, and then just come and enjoy wine with the winemakers. So that we just wanted to make sure it was fun and casual. But to the weather question, we do have tents. So if it does rain, we do have tents, but we encourage people to wear their, what did we call it last year? Their you know, coolest boots and their slickers and come sort of weather ready. And some people just like to party in the rain. They're fine with it.
Well, I'll tell you what, living here, which is pretty much, as we know, so close geographically to you, we're hardy and we're used to all kinds of weather and doing everything, you know, whether it's raining or snowing. So I don't, that probably doesn't affect attendance whatsoever.
I don't think
right?
so.
Yeah.
And we do get quite a few of our friends are from the States. We have probably between 15 and 20% of the guests that participate in our events come from the U.S. So I think we got a pretty good fan base already.
I'm sure you do. Thanks to Sharon, too, telling us all about it all the time. I hope she's listening. Don't forget to tell her to listen. Again, let's give the dates and how they can our listeners can get more information.
So NiagaraWineFestival.com is our website, and that's where you can get information and you can purchase tickets through that website. Everything is done with online ticketing, which makes it nice and easy. We don't have to worry about mailing tickets out or losing them in the mail. So the festival runs from Saturday, June 15th on the weekends right through until Sunday, June 23rd, so two consecutive weekends. It starts with the TD Wealth tailgate party on the 15th of June, and that's at the 13th Street Winery in St. Catharines, and that's an all-inclusive ticket. It's $90 Canadian, and it's a four-hour event with 30 wineries and 15 food trucks. It's going to be amazing, and a big, huge live stage. The Discovery Pass runs the Saturday and Sunday of both weekends, $45 Canadian, and it gets you 8 food and wine experiences. You can choose from up to 30 wineries. And then we finish the festival with the RBC Brunch in the Vineyard at Jackson Triggs Winery in Niagara-on-the-Lake. And that, again, is a battle between the chefs with wines paired with their dishes to see who has the best brunch dish of the year.
Well, here we are, folks, giving you all kinds of great ideas to celebrate this beautiful forthcoming season, spring and summer, here in Western New York and also in Canada. Thanks so much for joining us, Dorian. And we always enjoy talking to our Canadian neighbors. And thank you for listening, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation. And perhaps we will see you at the Wine Festival. Enjoy yourselves. Have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you soon.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.